When you're in touch with what God's done for you, it changes everything. Oh my gosh, how much do we need to remember that? That's why we got to be going to church regularly, so that we are reminded of what God's done for us, so that we can do likewise in our horizontal relationships and be gracious. Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast, where we help you lead with integrity at home, at work, and in the community.
I'm Tara Mattson, a licensed marriage and family therapist and executive coach.
And I'm Jeff Mattson, an executive coach and organizational development professional.
And together we bring you 2 decades of experience in leader development and trauma-informed therapy. We are so glad you're here to help you become the leader you would follow. Okay, so we're talking marriage today on the Living Wholehearted Podcast with just Jeff and I.
Ooh la la.
So, okay, big test. How long have we been married?
Well, we are celebrating 25 years of marriage.
Woohoo! Almost. Yeah,
and we dated, and we, yeah, that'll be June of 2026. And we dated 4 years on top of that. Yes.
Yes. So we were married just months after 9/11. Before 9/11. So we were newlyweds when 9/11 happened.
I remember being in the little apartment, teeny apartment, the day it was happening. You were on the job, but anyhow.
Yeah. You can tell the story. It's okay. It's a part of marriage.
You were on the job in downtown Seattle, and I was going to go to work after you. Yeah. You had to get there before. And I'm watching on the television the building come down, the first one, and I'm like, and you guys were all huddled in your office space, got a TV out there, and we're watching it too. The world stopped.
Yeah, the world stopped. And I remember thinking at that moment, I don't think I can have kids if this is the world. And it was similar, not the same, but similar to kind of probably what many experienced maybe during COVID, when COVID and the world shut down. And just kind of, it just changes your whole paradigm of how life is supposed to be. So as newlyweds, you know, we're starting off, we worked really hard in our dating years. Yeah. We did a lot of premarital counseling, took a lot of classes. We were in school with Les and Leslie Parrott, and we took every class that they offered, who have written over 40 plus books on marriage.
We both did individual counseling, worked through some things. I had to work through probably some more, but... Okay.
You're saying it, not me.
So. Most of your work has happened since.
Oh. Yes. Thanks to you.
So. Healthy people get help, you guys.
Yeah, but we've actually had a counselor most of our marriage. We've spent time on and off with Deborah, is her first name. And we spent a lot of time in throughout probably our hardest part of our marriage, I'll speak to maybe, was having babies. We spent 6 years newlyweds, enjoyed our early marriage, and thought we had it all figured out, communication and conflict resolution and money and sex. And then the parenting hit, and we had our first baby. And we both had some big issues show up.
It just emerged through the daily grind of holding kids that won't stop crying, you know, and trying to do everything on the list and just... all of the things that is that parents navigate, right? And you feel so ill-equipped. I mean, even just, I can remember bringing Adoniah home from the hospital. We're in the car. They gave her to us, and we're like, she's ours. Oh,
that
my gosh. You know, we're responsible for a life. That it was unbelievable. Totally exciting and exhilarating and terrifying at the same time. But just, nothing like those dynamics where your world is shifting and you realize, gosh, what's going on in me? Where is this coming from?
Yeah.
You know, some of these different things as you're tired, hungry, lonely. What's the other part of the acronym?
I'm really not. Sorry. I don't remember. But I'm tracking with you. Those are key. Like, hey, we should check on those first before.
Yeah.
Well, I just think back to that time. It really forced us, and I say forced, it forced us because we're oldest children. We really do want to practice what we preach. And at that point, I was a marriage and family therapist. I think at the time you were a pastor, and we really believed deeply in marriage and the possibilities, and we really did like each other. But having the external stressors of children really threw us upside down, and you needed, you know, kind of a new rehabilitating, or what's the word?
reframing, recalibrating.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Recalibrating of our marriage. And one of my marriage professors used to talk about healthy marriages always being able to renegotiate their contract. So when you're first married, you have these ideas of marriage and what you're going to do and what I'm going to do. You're going to take out the trash. I'm going to cook. Well, you know, those are kind of the things you just negotiate. But when stressors come in and new things happen, whether it's a wanted stress like a baby or an unwanted stress like losing a job or family trauma, diagnosis, we have to renegotiate the contract, even aging along the way, right? We start to change over the years and you have to say, okay, who are we and what kind of marriage do we want right now? So another time we had to do that, fast forward, was when we wrote our first book, Shrinking the Integrity Gap, together. It really tested us in some huge ways.
I would say that and presenting together, right? Those are two things. Two firstborns, both of us have presented separately.
Yeah.
But even this book, you know, that practicing a principle that we teach, you know, I have a voice, you have a voice. And valuing both of those voices and working really hard to stay present with each other as we did a project, a book project.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. It drew out like, you know, some uglier stuff. And it forced us to really, well, call Deborah, you know, to get to get some sweet practical Deborah helps again.
I think we paid for her retirement home. So, but I hope you're hearing, you know, as professional helpers, right? We're executive coaches and licensed marriage family therapists. We have years. Well, I am in That's the you. Counseling, yeah. But the years of experience in the trenches with couples and seeing all the gamut of the hard, in order for us to stay healthy and to have a really great marriage, I would say we've had two, maybe three, I'm going to say three things that have made a huge difference. One has been our walk with Jesus individually. We have both relied heavily on the Lord over the years and just really leaning in to trying to get our needs met from him and learning how to give in our marriage and not always take from each other. But as human beings, that's really difficult. But that piece, the second one has been an outside helper. So we've had mentors all along the way and a counselor and making sure that we're not trying to do this thing on our own. And the third has been, I can't even put my finger up if you're watching this on YouTube, but apparently it won't go up. The third has been a community around us. So we've always really gone deeper in having a church community around us and within that a group of friends and community that have walked with us all these years.
To be known and to know others. It's important. Yeah.
So I think 25 years is pretty good. We got a long ways to go still to catch up to your grandparents.
Off to a good start, we'd like to say, as they almost made it to 73 years.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to interview for a minute.
Oh.
Tell me, what have you learned about marriage from a man's perspective? Not that you're speaking for all men, because there's a wide variety, but as you've thought about the things that you've grown in marriage, and then as you're coaching other men and helping them to love the people they say they love the most, what are some of the wisdom you've gathered?
Yeah, well, that you sort of said it at the end there.
Oh, sorry.
it's for me, it started with just a desire to stay in reality. Like, and that comes from the importance of that for me. It comes from, my family of origin dynamics and the difficulties of being raised in a home by a clinical narcissist. That was reality was hard to fight for. And, so when I say that, it's, and then the message for us of shrinking integrity gap, like it's important if you're staying in reality and you want to grow as a person, you want to grow as an individual, you want to grow as a husband and then a father. It was about what are you going to do about that, right? In order to stay in a place of reality and to make progress, not so that you can check some box or feel good about yourself, but actually have real connection. Bring continued healing and change dynamics that I really was desperate to change for us and for our kids. So I would say number one, that's where the real driver, the motivator came from. It came from that relationship with God and a desire to continue to be healed by him as I participate in the act as an active participant in that healing so that I can be more of who he's called me to be. And nothing drives me more than that. And again, the people that I love, which is you and our daughters more than anybody. And what's going to motivate me more than that, you know? So that's where I start. And then realizing that that means that I can be also influenced by you as I also influence you guys. And I think just that's part of staying in reality. That's just true. When you're around somebody, you're influencing them or they're influencing you. And sometimes both things are happening. Growing in my awareness of my impact on others has been a huge thing. There was a lot of things I didn't see just in the ways in which I carried myself, my body language, my tone, and growing in awareness of how people who are wired differently than me can feel intimidated by me and other things. As you and my girls are our girls, like growing and understanding through real relationship what their experiences are, your experiences are with me, has been really powerful, and it's influenced me to want to make changes that I need to make based on that awareness and about what reality is. So then knowing and believing, choosing to believe that you all are for me and that we have good relationship, that's a motivator to make those changes, right? And to begin to keep growing. And then that spills out into every other relationship that matters. So first and foremost, relationship with God. Second, relationship with you. Third, relationship with our daughters. That order is pretty important. Things get funky when that order gets out of, like, mixed up. And then that spills out into all the other relationships and things that I'm participating in. And those are some things that I think from a guy's perspective, how I'm passionate about in my own life, but things I try to teach others to be thinking through. Just a few. There's more, but.
No, that's great. I just want to get a little practical with some of that because I have watched you do that. And in fact, how that looks is in practical. It looks like you literally asking me and the girls, is there an area that I can grow in, or how am I doing in my relationship with you? And you sincerely wanting us to give you feedback. I think that practice is hard because you don't always like what you hear. But I think because you've been so sincere and we know you're going to keep doing it, it's not like a one and done, which is, you know, only can be told over time, that, you know, we can just offer one little tip. And then it makes me want to go, what can I work on? Sometimes I'm not really good at doing that with you because I'm, well, we don't have to get into all my issues, but I will say I've really appreciated that. But here's the practical piece that I just want to say has been super cool. And I think both wives and husbands can take this to heart. But as a very practical, get her done kind of guy, you write it down on a sticky note, and it is on your mirror in front of where you brush your teeth every day. So I get to see it for accountability, but it's been fun to watch. Because he's being reminded of it every day. And I can see the fruit of that because it's this constant shifting of I'm working on this. It can be something as simple of, you know, we teach on communication. Yeah. We listen really well as professionals. But I might say, hey, I would love for you if you work on, what was the more recent one? Like,
the first things that you say may not necessarily be what you mean.
Yes.
And that
there might be more to
the importance of asking clarifying questions or staying curious, but not getting married to the first thing that you say.
Yeah, because I'm a verbal processor. Uh-huh. And so sometimes the language I'm using, there's multiple meanings behind that. And he might take it one direction and I meant it this way. And now we're in a totally different, I feel unheard at the end of the day. And so it took us a while to get to that summary there, but Jeff got it where he was clear. And now there's a sticky note that says, make sure you clarify with Tara and you don't take the first meeting. You actually seek out understanding what she's trying to say. And I'm like, yay. So knowing that he's already working on that, I don't have to remind him all the time. And because you've shown a track record that you really do care and are working on that. And you've done that with our girls. And so now at 18 and 16, they know that you have their best in mind and you want to give them the best.
Yeah, the other thing is that it's pretty powerful because that trust has been built Yeah, and let's just say with the girls, for example, which is, again, another huge motivator of helping them know what's healthy mm-hmm. and to know that they have a voice, is practice and reps, right, mm-hmm. within our family system. And so when they actually say something like, hey, Dad, the other day when you said this, I just want you to tell you that was hard for me, you know. Okay. And I mean, it takes a lot of courage for girls that now they're teenagers and young adult. So it's like, but when they were even little, much smaller physically, bravery and courage to do that. But this was like so proof positive of, this is like the stuff I was really praying for, that they, and that I would see when it happened, that they would be able to do that. Cause that would show me that we have a healthy and real relationship where they have a voice and they trust me that they can use their voice and know that they're going to influence me in not in an inappropriate way, but my gosh, I just thought, oh yes, Lord, thank you. Cause it wasn't like, again, box checking. That's not what mm-hmm. I'm into. I'm into real relationship, real things, and our desire to do like really give them my best, you know? Yeah. And so then that opened the door, right? Then it opened the door for me to, if they were sharing something that I had done that impacted them in a negative way, for me to remember their wiring and how they were wired and how that impacted them. And then knowing their wiring helps me then to know how to repair mm. in a way that they're wired to receive it, so that they could really, really from a genuine place say, I forgive you, Daddy.
Yeah.
You know, and be okay to move forward. Not minimizing the impact, but actually really seeing them in a healthier version also of repair and forgiveness.
So if you're new to our podcast, welcome. But we use the word wiring to reference an actual tool we use called the Core Values Index. And we teach it and use it in all of the facets of living wholehearted, whether it's professional counseling, our executive coaching, our cohorts, our parent coaching. And so we've been using this with our girls since they were babes. And as you're saying that, that's been really helpful for you to really know how to hit the target with each of our girls and me knowing our wiring. So even speaking to my own wiring, being a verbal processor at times, or being, which is merchant, or an innovator, which is a more complex thinker, you know, I might say right, but I mean all kinds of different contexts for that word. And you're thinking there's only one way to think of the word right. And so we can miss each other all the time. But in terms of thinking through my wiring and the girls' wiring, that's been helpful for you in keeping it real.
Sure. Yeah, very much mm-hmm. so. Should we do turnarounds? Fair play?
Oh, you can put me on? Sure.
Yeah, interview you.
I mean, I have 10 more questions for you, but
sure. Of course
sure.
you do. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But okay, so speak from a woman's perspective, from a wife's perspective, some things that you have learned about the marriage dynamic and kind of the work that takes from your perspective towards having a healthy marriage and becoming a healthier partner.
Yeah. Well, I actually really lean heavily into Dr. Gary Landreth's play therapy model that we pull from a lot of his mm-hmm. Wisdom. And one of them is to focus on the donut, not the hole. And ever since I've been in grad school and had been trained as a play therapist, that really struck me, because I am in general a very positive and affirming person outside of the home. And then I would come home and I would realize that my innovator, my nature to want to either make things better or to correct. So that's why we ended up having some tension when we started co-presenting, because I always wanted to like, hey, we could do this better. Or can you do that different? Or right. And so, I think the focus on the donut, not the whole core values, has really helped me in seeing what you contribute and how you contribute to our marriage. And to, I think you taught me this by just doing it, and also being grateful for the small things and not always waiting for the big things, whatever those big things are in our expectations in our life. But thankful for the little things that happen pretty regularly in our marriage. And that has... not only helped my own heart and satisfaction in our marriage and knowing that it's not perfect, But there is so much that is so good. And so when you think about that donut analogy, there's a hole, there's a missing link, and every couple has it.
Sure.
And sometimes we get so fixated on that and think that's, we got to fix the hole rather than realizing who we are as a couple and who Jeff is as a husband, and who I get. And one example was when we realized, you know, our innovators were off and our builders are off. So I'm a low builder, you're a high builder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a higher innovator. You're a medium innovator, I'd say, because you've got innovator.
Yeah.
And I think there's a part in every marriage, and particularly for women, but I think men have to do this too, where you have to come to the reality of what kind of a marriage you have and grieve some of the things that aren't going to be there.
Mm.
And it really allows you to live into what is and what God has provided. But that's a process that can take months, if not years. But I think a lot of times us women are waiting for when or if or the should, and it really is stealing joy from all the beautiful things. So I'm often doing reframing, not to dismiss for women, but kind of like, tell me where he is, you know, thriving, where he's doing awesome as a dad, as a husband. And usually if we focus our attention there, we can really grow our own hearts and appreciation.
Man, our beliefs are so strong. We talk about this all the time, but, you know, and use this little train metaphor of beliefs driving behavior or actions. And then that impacts, of course, the caboose of the train is how we feel or our emotions. And, you know, the negative self-talk in our hearts and our minds, I mean, really it's in powerful. Our minds, it's so prevalent. It's so high. Mm-hmm. I think there's some research that has been done to, one researcher indicates that negative self-talk, like up to 77% of thoughts are negative, can be. That may not, I mean, that was a little bit surprising to me. I mean, I'm more of an optimist.
You are.
And so, but maybe really practically other people are like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Maybe even they thought it might be higher, but we got to fight for what we are believing, what we're thinking about, what we're taking in and evaluating it as to the truth of it. And we can get just sort of casual following certain things that we just grab. And then next thing you know, we're behaving a certain way. And then that impacts how we feel. So I love the fact that there's a discipline there.
Let me give a really practical example. This might sound like I'm trying to throw Jeff under the bus. Not at all, Jeff, but he might bring me a latte. As a very kind, like I'm at the office, he brings me a latte, and he brings me an oat caramel macchiato. And I'm like, oh, I love that. But if you really knew me, you would know
that I love that last week. This week, I love something else.
I love oat chai now. Where have you been? Have you not been paying attention?
For 7 days,
right, I've been on this other day. No, this is like over months, if not years, I've been drinking oat chai. Why haven't you been paying attention, right? And I could literally spin that into, he doesn't love me, so annoyed, right? The road that way. Or I can literally be like, oh, that is so thoughtful that you would even think to bring me a latte. Thank you. And you got half of it right. It was oat milk. Good job. So, and then using my voice to be able to just say, you know, for future.
And that's where I grab my sticky note and I put it on the mirror. No, just kidding.
I think that's probably something we both have had to grow in and learn is grace for our marriage, like for each other. And I think that is something you just learn when you're in relationship with Jesus. Like he gives us so much grace and he uses all the funkiness of life.
Yeah.
To do something really good for us. And I think that's kind of the longer you're married and the longer in your relationship, and if you're working on it and you're doing the deep work of understanding and caring for one another's stories and healing. So you got to do that too. And also this nurturing of grace. It's a really great ingredient.
We mentioned grandma and grandpa at the beginning of the podcast and come to my mind again. And I was a little guy. I watched them from when I was born all the way till I was a young adult. And then they're in heaven now. But they would say that I would ask them what was their secret, you know, and later as they got older, I would ask them that I knew what their answer was because I'd heard it so many times, but they loved to tell the story. So it was more about asking them so they could tell the story. What's your secret, you guys? And they would come around to, first my grandmother, strong German, would say, well, it's der glückste Gibnacht. And I was like, okay. And I would pretend I didn't know. And she said, the sensible one gives in. And we would just get a chuckle out of that. Because, of course, Grandpa would be like, oh, yeah, you think you're the sensible one. You know, it was this fun little role play. They loved doing that. Mm-hmm. Really, truthfully, they would talk about agape love. Mm-hmm. You know, they would talk about agape love, trying to outdo each other in agape love. Yeah. It became this fun game. It was the currency that they had in their relationship. It was relational deposit after relational deposit after relational deposit. They were so mindful of that. And so when there was a withdrawal, you know, something hard to talk about or to go through, they had this bedrock of deposits, and it was just beautiful. So that's the grace to me embodied that you're describing in relationship. That's one of my favorite pictures, is thinking of my grandma and grandpa, how they did that. And I try to do likewise, you know, in their example. There's a grace when you do get in touch. Of course, they were believers. When you're in touch with what God's done for you, it changes everything. Oh my gosh, how much do we need to remember that? That's why we got to be going to church regularly, so that we are reminded of what God's done for us, so that we can do likewise in our horizontal relationships and be gracious.
Yeah, and be more in his word to get to know him even better and what he actually says. I think one of the things that has been practiced, and we probably didn't do this very well for a long time, but having the grace for just being human, you know, I think that's been something that you maybe get a little better at the years you're together, but also it has to be intentional. So when you have a bad day because you're not feeling well, or it was a, you know, your body's hurting, or it was a stressful day at work. Now, when that's over and over and over and over, and you're not ever showing up, you know, as your best
self.
That's a different story. Yeah. But to have those days where you can just be a human, and, you know, we have to ask a lot of forgiveness in those. Like, I'm sorry, I was just so grouchy. I didn't mean those words that I came out in my grogginess there. So will you forgive me? But it's this another just there's not a lot of tit for tat, and something I've noticed and appreciated about you, and really want to coach other couples in learning, like, with grace, there isn't a tit for tat. Am I saying it right? Gotta be careful.
An exchange.
Like, some sort of equity. I'm going to do something nice for you, so now you do something nice for me.
Transactional.
And in God's economy, we don't earn his blessing. No. We don't earn his goodness. We don't earn, he just is good. And he is faithful to us even when we aren't. And so that kind of love has been so powerful. I know when I've been a brat, to be honest, I can be bratty. I'm pretty feisty. People don't believe it because they think, I don't know, it must be the sound of my voice or something.
Please help me.
I can be pretty bratty. And so if I'm feisty and then you're still so kind to me, that has not only been such a huge gift to our marriage, and I want to do that for you when you're having a bad day, but also has reminded me of who God is in my own life and the way he loves me. So
thank you.
It's not something I think we did really well early on in our marriage, but I think it's become more the norm for us.
I just thanked you the other day. We just, you know, launched our oldest to college, and it's been harder even than I thought it would be. And I have been preparing for that for her whole life. Okay, so
if you're listening, Wheaton grads,
let's go Wheaties, let's go Wheaties. But like, I just thanked you. I was down there and looking up where you were sitting at your desk, and it was touching me. I was just sort of missing her, and I was emotional, and I thank you, and I thank you now for the ways in which you have been showing up to make it okay for me to be emotional about that, to be hurting, and for you, the care and comfort that you brought to this equation. Mm-hmm. It's been intentional. I know that you've been thinking about it and been working on it, and even your use of words. This is something that is such a welcome and appreciative thing, that's a graciousness to one another. And it, of course, that makes me want to do likewise with you.
Yeah.
And sometimes in this journey with saying goodbye to her in the best of ways, an awesome launch, and healthy in so many ways, it just hurts. And it really hurts to have to walk by the empty bedroom still. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you're feeling it, and I'm in a space where I can do that for you. Sometimes we're both feeling that, and then we've been able to care for each other. that's really important because life is full of highs and lows and things in between. And to be a safe person, you being my safe person, me be your safe person, that's something I'm growing on. I really want to be that for you. And there's been times when you've shared with me that I haven't been, and but I aspire to be. And so working at that, practicing, that's the fine tuning and the hard work of developing something that's beautiful, and becoming more safe for each other. That's an awesome goal.
Yeah.
That yields wonderful fruit, right?
Well, and thinking about it, we've been together now 29 years, almost. We haven't quite gotten to our 25th anniversary, but I think, you're welcome, by the way. I'm moving on. So thank you for acknowledging that. And I think it makes me think of comfort being such a primary piece to what we're all learning in our marriage. Like, how do we be each other's safe person and bring comfort rather than more harm? Because life is harsh. And we start to think, oh, we're the enemy and you're hurting me, rather than I wonder why you're hurting, what's going on in your life that's hurting. And I'll just saw that. Oh my gosh, this podcast needs a lot of editing. So all that to say, so I think that's part of the growing, and that it takes time. That was my bottom line. It takes time. It just takes time. And it's never too late to begin learning how to do this, because so many of us are coming from different starting points when we get married, depending on how much we've had healthy attachment and good care and good modeling of marriage prior to marriage. And if we've had zero, zilch, then we're starting from ground zero, but we can set a new legacy for our kids and our grandkids, and we got to do the hard work. And so, but that comfort is something that I think is a key part of a healthy marriage, but it takes practice, and oftentimes it can take a professional to help learn how to care for one another in those vulnerable moments.
Yeah, I hope this little session on marriage has been encouraging to you. It's been encouraging to me. Thank you for the compliments. I mean, that means a lot. It does, and that means that we're growing. We're on the right track, baby.
Yeah, I wonder what our 50th podcast or 50th anniversary podcast.
There should be some nuggets in there. I hope
we'll be all old and wrinkly. So, okay, well, thank you for being with us. And again, just a little tidbit on marriage. We're encouraging you with other guest speakers in this season, and we're just so grateful that you're continuing to walk with us and continuing to choose to shrink your own integrity gap between what you believe and how you're actually living, and particularly with those we say we love the most. Until next time, continue growing into the leader that you will follow.
Well, did you know that we're not just podcasters? One of the best ways to connect with Tara and I and our whole team at Living Wholehearted is our website, livingwholehearted.com. There you're going to find the books that we've written, our e-courses, executive coaching, organizational development, and professional counseling services. And then one of our favorite things that we're up to these days, our Wholehearted Leadership Cohorts, where we take groups of leaders for 1 to 2 year journeys together. It's amazing. While you're there, for fresh content, make sure that you sign up for our e-newsletter. That's where we're putting out stuff every month that you want to keep close with. So visit livingwholehearted.com.
You can also join us on socials at @living_wholehearted on Instagram, and we are Living Wholehearted on Facebook. You can also follow me at Tara Mattson on Instagram. We love to engage with you personally there, so make sure you reach out. Leave us a review if you're enjoying this podcast. And if you're a mom of a daughter, check out our nonprofit, Courageous Girls, at mycourageousgirls.com, where you're going to learn about biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom, where it's helping you walk with your daughter at every stage of her growing years, helping her to be courageous and confident in a day such as this.
Hey, thank you for caring about being the kind of person and leader that lives with integrity.